Welcome back to Open Line at WOSU 820 NPR News. I'm Fred Anderle. This is an open forum this hour. We'll be lining up your phone calls in a few moments at 614-292-8513. But first of all, we've been getting some questions about digital conversion for your television set, which if it's analog, and most of ours are analog, will be obsolete come February of 2009. And we have the person here who has all the answers. Susan Meyer is Director of Marketing and Communication for the WOSU station. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Fred.
So first of all, I'll outline the problem for everybody. I've got an analog television set at home. It's just an old analog set. It's a wonderful set, but it's going to be obsolete when?
Mm-hmm. On February 17th of 2009, that analog signal will be returned to the government, and you will not be able to watch television without acting. And that what that means is that you either have to get cable or satellite. Or the easier thing is you simply purchase a converter box that will translate that analog signal into a digital signal.
So come February 17th, 2009, all the television stations will turn off their analog transmitters,
correct,
transmit only in digital. And if I've got a little analog TV with rabbit ears, I'm not on cable or an antenna on the roof or whatever, I'm out of luck. I'm going to get hash. I'm not going to see anything.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So the simplest thing to do if I don't want to pay for cable, and increasingly fewer people do with these outrageous rates, twice the rate of inflation over the last 10 years, according to the New York Times, cable rates, I've got to get a converter box.
Correct.
And but the government, a government agency, the NTIA, and you can tell us what that means, is giving us $40 coupons. At least each household will get two $40 coupons toward the purchase of these converter boxes, right?
Correct. So you can go to dtv2009.gov, and you can call them, or you can simply log on and request these two coupons. Mm-hmm. You get two $40 coupons. You can't put them together, but you can get two computer converter boxes.
Okay. So in other words, you might have two television sets in the house, and each of these $40 coupons will apply to the purchase of a converter for each of the two.
Correct.
Total of two. And they're $40 coupons for each of the converter boxes, and we see right now that there are converter boxes on the market for around $50. And we're hearing that later in the summer they're going to be out for about $39.95.
That's right.
Okay. So it's one set of two coupons per address. And Susan, get your pencils ready. Susan in a minute is going to repeat the website, and there's an 800 number there as well. There are, by the way, 614-292-8513 if you've got a question about all this, and you can email a question to openline at wosu.org. And Susan, but there is a problem. A listener identified the other day, and I told him I'd check it out. And I understand that people who live in group homes, for whatever reason, maybe they're mentally ill, maybe it's a halfway house for somebody just out of prison, that there's only going to be one set of two coupons per address. So if you had five people living in different rooms of a group home and they each had a television set, that they can't get coupons for each of those television sets, right?
That's right. Currently, applicants must meet the census definition of a household, which basically consists of one address. Mm-hmm. So if you have, you know, eight different households living in one address, you're only going to get those two coupons. Now, what they have done, they do realize that this is an issue, particularly around seniors. So there is a notice of a proposed rulemaking with comments due on June 9th to amend the rules that will allow seniors living in facilities to be eligible for the coupons. If the rules are amended, the changes will go into effect mid to late summer. And I spoke with NTIA this morning, and they said they hope to have this all completed within 45 days.
Okay, let me stop you just a second and go back a little bit. There are two separate issues. One is group homes, and the other is like if I live in a senior citizen center like Thurber Towers, for example. I'm in apartment 8A in Thurber Towers as a senior. I can't get two coupons for apartment 8A as it stands now, right?
Correct.
They give one set of two coupons for all the people in Thurber Towers.
Right.
Yeah, or in any other senior citizen apartment dwelling. Okay, but they're going to look at that, and that may well change. Huh?
That's right. Now, part of that proposed rulemaking is they want help in defining the eligible population of seniors. So that's where the group home comes into.
Okay.
And you can make comments. Group homes may or may not be included in the definition depending on the types of comments received.
Okay.
So I think that it's very important that people go to ntia.doc.gov and make comments. I think the government needs to hear that group homes do need coupons just like everybody else.
So it's ntia.gov to make comments.
Correct.
Okay, ntia.gov. But if you want to get the coupons, it's a little different. What is it?
It is, you can go to wosu.org/dtv.
Okay.
You can also go to dtv2009.gov.
And we'll repeat those once before we conclude here. So right now, if you're living in a group home or if you know somebody living in a group home, it's not going to happen. They're only going to get two coupons per address.
Mm-hmm.
And that could change depending on the comments upcoming, or it might not change. But senior citizens living in retirement facilities, on the other hand, that's a separate issue. And that looks a little more promising, maybe.
It does.
Okay, so there's been so it seems to be that some of these oversets are going to hit those people least able to deal with the situation. They've been hitting seniors in retirement homes, and now they're hitting people in group homes who may be mentally ill, you know, who may want their television set and have, you know, that's maybe about their only entertainment. And nonetheless, this is a problem right now.
Correct, and it's a big problem for seniors. In Central Ohio, we know that there are 5,000 to 10,000 seniors who will not be ready for this digital transition. It occurs in February. If we had a March 8th snowstorm in February, you know, people would just be lost.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that WOSU is doing to address that issue is we're working with the Central Ohio Agency on Aging as well as Life Care Alliance to distribute to seniors these converter boxes.
Uh-huh.
Now, we need the public's help on that, because if you do not need your coupons, we're asking that you go ahead, apply for them, and then bring them over to WOSU. We will take them, we will purchase the converter boxes, and turn them over to these two social service organizations who will install the converter boxes for the seniors.
Mm-hmm. So just bring them right to our lobby here in the Fawcett
Center. Bring them right to our lobby.
2400 Olin Tangi River Road, and if you don't need them, and drop them off. And that's one of the things that we're doing to help here. All right. Let me see. This has come an email from Nicole. Let's see if we can answer this one. Nicole says, what's going to happen to the plain Channel 34 come February 17th, 2009? She says, I just purchased my converter box. I'm able to view Channel 34.1, 34.2, and 34.3, but the plain 34, which is my son's favorite, doesn't seem to be an option. She said, I disconnected my converter box so we could watch Clifford and Barney. I did look at your online schedule of programs. It doesn't appear that the digital channels contain the children's programs that plain 34 has. Am I missing something?
The trick there is that people who are purchasing converter boxes today, if you want to hook up that converter box so that you can get access to these other channels, you need to have a digital or an analog pass-through. So
wow.
There's two kinds of converter boxes. There's the converter box with no analog pass-through, and then there's one with an analog pass-through. If you have the analog pass-through, then you can go ahead, you can hook it up, and you will still see Channel 34. If you do not have that analog pass-through, then your option is to disconnect the box until February 17th.
Well, first of all, there's no reason to connect up the converter box right now, is there?
There is and there isn't. I mean, the analog is still out there. But when you hook up that converter box, you do have access to more channels. And it is a better quality,
mm-hmm.
So it looks different. I mean, it looks better.
So how do you know? This is very complicated. Thank you, federal government. Another unfunded mandate, some say. Wow. How do you know whether your converter box has an analog pass-through or not? And what is that anyway?
It should say right on there that it has an analog pass-through. And you can certainly ask any of where you purchased the converter box, you can ask them, does this have an analog pass-through? And it's basically exactly what it says. It's just going to allow that analog signal to pass through and remain as it is.
That's a regular plain 34.
Correct.
So if it has an analog pass-through on the converter box, you're okay. If it doesn't, as in our emailer's case, Nicole, better disconnect it, huh?
Right.
Until February 17th, 2009. We should say if you're on cable,
you're fine.
You're fine.
Cable,
is that
right? Satellite, you're fine.
They're going to continue their analog signals. So if you're connected up to – you may have digital cable, first of all, and you may have a digital television. But if you have an analog television and you have analog cable, they're going to continue the analog signal, right?
The cable companies and the satellite companies, they are on top of things, and you will not have to worry.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, a lot of people can't afford, particularly seniors, can't afford cable or satellite. They can't afford to
sure.
go buy a new TV.
At least – in fact, according to the New York Times here, nearly 25 million – homes have at least one television set that will stop functioning in 9 months when the nation converts to digital over-the-air television. Mm-hmm. And I think somebody told me 26% of the WOSU audience is listening off-air rather than on cable.
Yeah, I think we're not completely sure about the numbers, but it's a high number.
Okay. So once again, before we conclude here, Susan, if you'd give us the web address to go find, and you can do this on the web, or there's an 800 number at this website too.
Yes, you can apply online at www.dtv2009.gov. You can call their 24-hour hotline.
Ooh, let's get this now.
Which is 1-888-DTV-2009.
1-888-DTV-2009. And then they're going to send you the $240 coupons per household,
correct,
right? And also, you said if you wanted to comment on this proposed rulemaking in terms of group homes, there's a slightly different website to go to.
NTIA.gov.
NTIA.gov. Okay. And that is the situation. I think we've covered everything, Susan.
And a reminder that if you do not need your coupons, please go ahead, apply for them, and drop them off at WOSU, and we will get those to seniors who are shut in, who simply can't get out to get the coupons.
Okay, and this is going to be a problem for some of our viewers and some of the viewers of the commercial channels as well. Huh?
Correct.
Okay, we may have, let me see if Mort, oh yeah, Mort is on the line here. And Mort, you have, Mort, I think you've got a tip for converting to digital here. What is that? Mort, are you with us? Okay, for some reason we're not hearing Mort. Mort, are you there? All right, we're going to have to bypass Mort temporarily. And Susan Meyer, thank you very much for being with us. I'll give out that phone number again as we move along.
All right, thank you.
And we'll move to our open forum here at 614-292-8513 with all kinds of things to talk about. The political ferment, the scene is boiling, of course, as it always is. We have, Scott McClellan. I'm sure this has been all over television and radios this morning. The former White House press secretary is a critical new memoir about his years in the West Wing, reading from Elizabeth Boumiller's article here in the New York Times. Scott McClellan writes, President Bush, quote, convinces himself to believe what suits his needs at the moment. In addition, Mr. McClellan writes, the decision to invade Iraq was a, quote, serious strategic blunder, and that he says it was, quote, a decision to turn away from candor and honesty when those qualities were most needed. He said that essentially President Bush sought to convince the public through propaganda. And he goes on. This is quite an amazing book in the sense that Mr. McClellan, again, who was the press secretary, said, quoting Scott McClellan, I fell far short of living up to the kind of public servant I wanted to be. And he also calls the news media complicit enablers, in his words, in the White House's, quote, carefully orchestrated campaign to shape and manipulate sources of public approval, close quote, in the march to the Iraq War in 2002 and 2003. So these are some of the amazing words in his new book called What Happened Inside the Bush White House and Washington's Culture of Deception. He is harsh also about the administration's response to Hurricane Katrina, saying the administration, quote, spent most of the first week in a state of denial and, quote, allowed our institutional response to go on autopilot. And he also talks about one theme in the book is that the White House suffered from a, quote, permanent campaign mentality and that policy decisions were inextricably interwoven with politics. And once again, he calls the decision to invade Iraq a serious strategic blunder. And yet, in his view, it was not the biggest mistake the Bush White House made. He says that biggest mistake was, quote, a decision to turn away from candor and honesty when those qualities were most needed, close quote. Well, all right. We have this from our newsroom. Governor Strickland has tapped the dean of Ohio State University's law school as the state's new attorney general. Nancy Rogers was sworn in this morning. She replaces Mark Dan, who resigned earlier this month amid a sexual harassment scandal. Rogers pledges to turn around the office of the attorney general. She says she does not plan to run for the office in November, Voters in November will pick the person who will fill out the remainder of Mark Dan's term. So once again, Governor Strickland has tapped the dean of Ohio State University's law school as the state's new attorney general. Nancy Rogers was sworn in this morning. She replaces Mark Dan. He resigned earlier, you know, this month amid a sexual harassment scandal. And Rogers pledges to turn around the office of the Attorney General. She does not plan to run for the office in November. We don't know who that will be as yet running in November. Well, we're at 614-292-8513. A couple of people have called in about questions about the digital television coupons, but folks, you're a little late. You needed to be a little ready on the switch there. But, Mort, you've got a tip here.
Yes.
All right, now we can hear you. How are you?
I do, and my apologies. I went to turn on the radio before.
Okay, and you were gone.
Yeah, people do not need to be stranded between two antenna or recipient sources. They can simply go to Radio Shack, and I think it's like $19.99. There is a little box, you know, 3-4 inches in diameter with a double switch, and you can plug in two different antennas. I do that because I don't get great reception with one rabbit ears. I use two. You can switch between them, simple push of a button. And it doesn't have to be rabbit ears. It could be whatever your incoming source is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's around $19.99, something like that. So there is a cost, but it works quite well.
Okay. Well, Mort, I think it's called an AB switch, generally speaking. You're saying it switches you between two sources. One could be your rabbit ears antenna, and the other could be the single source coming through the digital conversion box. Is
exactly.
that right?
Exactly.
Have you checked? Do you know that's true?
I'm sure that it works between it has regular you know gold plated screw in connectors and any incoming source has the same type of connector.
Okay, gotcha. Well, Mort, and thanks, and check with Radio Shack and I double check to make sure it will work. But I appreciate the suggestion.
All they have to do is say, "I want to switch between two incoming antennas or sources."
Understand,
and they'll know exactly what to give you.
Mort, thanks for the tip.
Okay, good.
And John, I think you've got a question that Susan could have answered, but I'm not going to be able to answer, I don't think. But hello.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I did get the – they're not coupons. They actually are credit cards.
The little credit cards, yeah.
And it has your name on it, and the accompanying letter with it says it must be redeemed only by the person whose name is on there. And I'm wondering, how can you donate it when my name is already on it? They would not be able to use that.
They're like little credit cards, right? And your name is embossed on the card.
Right.
I'll tell you what, I can't answer that, but I'm going to find out, hopefully before the end of the hour. Let me see if I can find out for you. That's an important question.
I'd hate to have a lot of people donate them and they'd be completely useless.
Absolutely. They're very important questions. So I'll do everything I can to find out as soon as possible. That's a really, really important question. You're right. They're not coupons in themselves. They are little credit card-like things.
Right.
Let's see what I can find out, John. Good question.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks so much. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll see what we can find out about that one. Well, we're at 614-292-8513. All kinds of issues to talk about. As we say, an interim attorney general appointed by Governor Strickland, Dean Nancy Rogers of The Ohio State University's Law School, and she will not be the candidate running for office on your November ballot. We'll have complete details on the news at 11. We'll have the national and our local news as well. We have a caller in Worthington. Hello, caller.
Good morning.
Good
Thank
morning.
Thank you for taking my call. I would like to make sort of my personal musing about the latest dust-off between Hillary Clinton's remark about Bobby Kennedy's assassination and the Obama campaign. It seems to me that
Let me quote that precise remark, but it doesn't do justice to it, of course, to take it totally out of context. But her direct quote is Hillary Clinton said, "My husband did not wrap up the nomination." She's talking about, you know, how nominations and
fight
battles can go on for a very long time. And she said, quote, "My husband did not wrap up
That's
the nomination
right.
in 1992 until he won the California primary somewhere in the middle of June," right?
That's
we all
right.
remember Bobby Kennedy was assassinated
That's
in June
right.
in California, close
yeah.
quote.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's been a lot of interpretation. Some people are outraged by it. Senator Obama said, you know, she was just a little tired.
We'll
have interpretations all over the map, but I know you're going to have a pro-Hillary interpretation caller.
Well, my thought is this. It's more reflection on the part of Obama's paranoia about being assassinated. Do you remember last year, before the election?
Wait a minute. Can I slow you down a bit? Did you say Senator Obama's paranoia about being assassinated?
Yes.
I'm going to beg to differ with that right now. I've never heard Senator Obama be paranoid about anything. In fact, wait a minute. Slow down a minute. In fact, Senator Obama's wife, Michelle, when she was asked the question a while back in the campaign, said, look, I'm not concerned about that. He's an African-American man. He could be shot going down to the drugstore for a pack of gum. I think, in fact, there's been lots of talk in the African-American community and then the wider community about this horrible potential of assassination.
That's right.
I don't think Senator Obama's paranoid at all.
What I'm trying to say is this, being interrupted.
Wait a minute. You were interrupting me. Now, hold on. Okay, all right. So now you can speak.
All right, thank you. Last year, before the election campaign earnestly started, it was the Obama who asked Secret Service protection before anyone else, and they were very concerned about the possibility of being assassinated because of race.
Sure.
And it was a very well taken. That is a concern. It shows that the campaign was not being, you know, I'm saying that when I say paranoid, I don't mean that Obama himself is paranoid.
Thank you.
What I'm saying is that they were very concerned about the assassination itself. And therefore, Hillary, second time mentioned about Bobby Kennedy, this is not the first time.
Right.
She was making point about primary going into June. It's nothing unusual. And she was making the point. And when she was jumped all over by Obama supporters like Maureen Dowd and even this morning, I heard this morning, it was yesterday, then Shaw was jumping all over Hillary about that remark. And to me, you know, these people, they are really impugning her motive and intention. And I think they should stop this because we are going to kill each other. We won't be able to overcome November election competition.
Well, I think, you know, I read the comment at first, and then I saw the video, which you can still see, I think, at HuffingtonPost.com, in terms of Senator Clinton saying those things. My guess is that Senator Obama was right when he said, look, no offense, we get very tired during the campaign. We simply, you know, you say things when you're tired, and sometimes, you know, the media, of course, is ready to jump on anything any candidate says. Man, look out, if you parse the word the wrong way, you know, you're gone. And you know, you have a 24-hour fielding and a 48-hour fielding and more of the media. I just think that everybody will have to
cool it.
I think everybody's just going to have to make their own decision about how they feel about Senator Clinton's remarks. Some people will be outraged. Some people will not. But I do think in terms of the Democratic Party that it commonly is said to be able to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Absolutely.
And it does seem to be tearing itself apart in this case.
If we keep on doing this, slaying each other, killing each other like this, we will have a third-term Bush administration in the form of the President McCain, and I am really concerned about what's going to happen if, you know, especially the front-runner campaign like Obama's, do not cool it a little bit and be more judicious, more understanding. I think that I hear a lot of women's organizations are very much upset with Obama's treatment of Hillary.
Well, you know, all of this internecine fighting here, all of this internecine fighting here is great news for Republicans. Senator McCain can just steam right on through it. He's a very powerful candidate, good candidate, as is Senator Obama and Senator Clinton as well. All of them are. But certainly advantage Senator McCain, given the recent developments in the Democratic Party. Carla, we got to go.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
We're going to take a break here, and we're going to pause in the middle of our open forum. And we have open phone lines for you at 614-292-8513. Back after these messages at WOSU 820, NPR News.
Everybody's an expert on their own lives. And on Talk of the Nation, we ask you to share your stories.
These techniques were used on me when I went through resistance training, sleep deprivation, putting bags over our heads.
I'm Neil Conan. Real stories from real people about real issues that matter to you. Join us. Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation will be here later this afternoon. It begins at 2 o'clock right here on WOSU 820, NPR News. And coming up on Talk of the Nation today, a stop with the political junkie. He'll talk about vice presidential running mates and how a presidential candidate makes that decision. That's coming up on Talk of the Nation today. WOSU Public Media invites you to the Ross Media Lab. It provides a place to learn technology in a fun environment. Join WOSU for fun new classes for parents and kids. Learn about digital scrapbooking, podcasting, and many more things in upcoming classes. More information is available online at wosu.org/media lab. And set your morning alarm to Morning Edition now on WOSU 89.7 FM from 5 to 9 a.m. and start your day with the latest news.
Support for WOSU comes from Central Ohio's only academic medical center, where research, teaching, and patient care come together to improve people's lives. We are the Ohio State University Medical Center.
Welcome back to Open Line at WOSU 820, NPR News. I'm Fred Anderle. We're right in the middle of an open forum, 614-292-8513. And, John, you asked a question. In fact, about these coupons which you can get for digital television conversion. John asked that question just a moment ago. And John said, in fact, the coupon, when you get it, is like a little credit card. And Susan Meyer, our director of marketing and communications, is back here because I thought this was such an important question. Susan, you were nice enough to come back to the studio. And John says, look, he got these little coupons, which really look like credit cards, and in the mail. And it had his name on it, he said. And it says you can only the bearer can cash in this coupon or credit card-like coupon. So what's the answer to that? So how can you donate them to anybody else, he says?
Yes. We communicated with the NTIA, and we told them about the population issue here in Central Ohio, that there were 5,000 to 10,000 seniors who would not be prepared, and that we would like to do what we were calling a banking sort of program. And they have given us permission. There is no information on that magnetic strip of the credit card.
Magnetic strip on the other side.
Yes. John is absolutely correct. It does look like a little credit card, but there's nothing on there other than, $40 digital conversion coupon.
So even if his name is embossed on the card, somebody else, if he donates it to our program, can take it and use it for one of these digital converter boxes.
Correct. And we have been receiving of those coupons. I have not seen any coupons with it embossed, with the name embossed.
You
so
got
that
one
might be
and
a new thing.
It didn't have your name on it.
Correct. But we do have permission from the NTIA to do this.
By the way, while you're here, Susan, and if you have, call quickly because Susan's only here for a second. If you got a question about this digital conversion, 614-292-8513. And Sid, you do have a question about this, huh?
Actually, I have a comment, Fred.
Yeah.
I do have my coupons, and I'd like to confirm that, the coupons don't have names on them.
Do not.
What I'm more concerned about is that they have an expiration date.
Yes.
And good point.
If you go online to buy any of these converter boxes which have analog pass-through, almost all of them are back-ordered for weeks. So
really?
If your coupon expires before they expect a new shipment, you're in trouble if you already got both the coupons that you're entitled to.
So I understand the coupons have a 90-day expiration date. Is that right?
Correct. They have 90 days. We are tracking for every coupon that we have donated to us, we are tracking those expiration dates. And we are working with local businesses to obtain those converter boxes. We do not think that we'll have a problem. We've been assured that we will get those converter boxes. And I think this is an issue that the NTIA is aware of. Mm-hmm. So I think that we'll see some things changing with the NTIA here in the next couple months. I don't think that these coupons are just going to expire. I think they will be honored.
You think they're going to be honored even past the 90-day expiration date? Huh?
I suspect they will be. Now, I have not been told that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, clearly the government understands that this is a real issue.
So, Sid, you're saying they're backordered online if it has an analog pass-through, is that right?
Right, yeah. And, you know, because, so for example, I'm looking at some of these analog pass-through ones, and my coupon expires on the 17th, mm-hmm. and a lot of these retailers are saying, oh, you can't order this unless your coupon expires after June 20th.
Because they won't have them. They won't have the
right.
digital converter boxes with the analog pass-through, right?
Exactly.
Well, Susan, you're indicating that maybe the government, I don't want to say typical government program, that's so much of a cliche, you know, that it doesn't work very well. But you're suggesting that the program will honor these cards maybe after the expiration date.
Well, I certainly think that that is what we would request. Now, you know, whether or not the government will do that, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they are aware that there are the expiration dates. If these boxes continue to back order, I mean, I think they're going to be in a position where they're going to have to look at this expiration issue.
Really? So, Sid, it's questionable, but maybe the government will say, hey, wait a minute, everything is on a back order for the digital converter boxes with analog pass-through, so we better extend your expiration date. Maybe.
Or maybe I might just have to give up TV, which won't be altogether bad.
Giving up television is not a bad idea. That's what, you know, the Columbus Dispatch asked the question for their hot issue the other day, do you envision buying a new television before digital broadcasting fully kicks in next February? In other words, a new digital TV. And one responder said, no, kill your television.
I agree with that.
You know, Fred, I do want to say one other thing, which is that I think that while we can certainly hope that the government will take a look at this expiration thing, I think that we have to operate according to that expiration date.
Yeah.
So I don't think you should hold on to your coupons thinking, well, maybe they'll extend the deadline.
Sure. And also, do we have here just one more time the 800 number for people to call to get these coupons?
Yes, I do. Let me see. It is 1-888-388-2009 or 1-888-DTV.
1-888-DTV-2009. Susan Meyer, that's it. And Susan, we've got to let her go now so she can get back to other work. And thank you for being here. And those are all the questions. Sid, thank you for your comment. Very interesting.
Thanks.
All right. Let us go. By the way, Paula May of our staff also checked, and she says there's no name on the card. She's looking at several cards right now up in her office, these digital conversion cards, so they can be donated. But either way, they can be donated, says Susan. Okay, let us go back to other issues as well in our open forum. Steve is on the line. Hello, Steve.
Fred, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a quick comment and a question. I wanted to get your opinion on what's going to happen with the McClellan book. I'm kind of curious, is impeachment still off the table, or is there something in this that will make the Democrats less complicit towards what Bush has done and some more evidence that might arise to do something about this horrible, horrible president that we have?
Well, let me just say that impeachment is very much off the table for Democrats. The Democratic Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, said that impeachment is off the table. It will not be considered. Of course, what you have in Scott McClellan's book, as far as I can see, I at least the press releases that have come out so far, the book is going to be out very soon now, is mostly opinion. I mean, in other words, there doesn't seem to be any new information that would, under any circumstance, qualify as something that the Constitution specifies must be a high crime or misdemeanor. It's merely opinion. I mean, it's authoritative opinion, but it is opinion.
Okay. Well, I just there's been so much come out about the lies and the misinformation and all the things that he did in the lead up to the war, and you know, many people consider him to be one of the worst terrorists of this era. And I'm just so surprised that, you know, all the talk about, you know, Obama's paranoid about assassination or whatever, you know, Bush is not a well-loved person. And all the damage that he's done, all the innocent Iraqis that he's killed, all the innocent U.S. service people that he's led to death for something that was basically a lie I'm just shocked that people are so accepting of that.
Well, see, remember, a couple of things here to point out an opposing point of view. Of course, remember that 30% of Americans do approve of the job that President Bush is doing. That's almost one out of three people on average that you would meet on the street approves. And also, it is a matter of opinion as to whether the president actually lied in terms of the run-up to the Iraq War. Some people would suggest that he lied. Other people would suggest that he was merely mistaken and got bad intelligence. So there's still a debate about that one.
Okay, sir. Well, thank you. I just want to give you one more comment about the television issue. I heard your joke about the killing the TV. My wife and I shot our TV some time ago, and we love it. We spend a lot more time outdoors, a lot more time getting our entertainment from the real world, and we get all of our news and information from NPR. And as far as the TV goes, we don't miss it at all. And maybe it would be a good thing to get some of these seniors outside and enjoy the real world, get a little exercise, enjoy the birds. It might be a good thing to wean people off of television, which might be more of a detriment than we're willing to admit.
Interesting idea. Thank you, Steve, for your call.
Thank you.
And the hot issue from the Columbus Dispatch yesterday, do you envision buying a new television before digital broadcasting fully kicks in next February? Some of the 91% said no, they're not going to buy. And this is only 47 comments, and this is not a statistically valid sampling, of course. 91% said no, they're not going to buy a new television. Some of the comments are funny. No, are you serious? A new TV, I can barely afford gas to drive to work. They say if you have cable, you'll be okay. But again, my cable is next on the chopping block if gas keeps going up. So maybe I'll be listening to the radio more. Another responder to the dispatch. No, I have several perfectly good televisions. Why should I trash them and spend money I don't have for new sets that I would rarely watch? I have the converted boxes. If they don't work, I'll just watch stuff on the internet or wait for the shows to be released on DVD. On the other hand, there's a no, because this other listener said, I already got an HD TV over a year ago, and so they don't need one. But yes, I got a 42-inch flat panel last month. HD TV rocks, says this responder to the dispatch. The most significant improvement to television since color. No, I'm not going to get a new TV. My 1991 TV will do just fine with the converter box. I don't watch much TV anyway. If it isn't on the History Channel or Discovery, it probably isn't worth watching anyway. Well, I would add WOSU TV 34 is very well worth watching. But I think people are saying more and more about television and more about the cable fees, which, as the New York Times noted in an article recently, over, I think it was the past 10 years, I believe, was the time frame, but I do know the amount very specifically, that indeed the cable fees have gone up at double the rate of inflation. So they're charging an awful lot of money to watch television. And some people are saying, hey, I can listen to National Public Radio. I can watch and listen to news on the internet and entertainment on the internet. Why do I need cable television? Well, we're at 614-292-8513. Doug is on the line. Hello, Doug.
Hi, Fred. I called in on a different topic, but very quickly. Nancy Pelosi doesn't have the say whether impeachment's on the table or not. That's John Conyers, who's chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, where that would come from. And he sent a letter to President Bush: if you start attacks on Iran, you know, start them, the impeachment is going to be, though there will be hearings. And one reason why...
Can I just interrupt to say
sure.
One thing? Initially, Democrats said that there was going to be a vote of a sense of the House. In other words, they're going to take a vote to say,
right,
if you go to war against Iran without consulting us first, we will not support you. But Democrats backed off on that resolution, and they're no longer going to do that.
Well, that letter still, it would come from that committee. And one thing why I would like to see impeachment hearings, just to investigate, is because if there are hearings, there's no executive privilege. They can't hide all these papers. And they can't pardon people. You know, there's going to be all these pardons like there was with President Clinton. Well, he can pardon Karl Rove, give him blanket immunity for anything he might have done. Well, that wouldn't work if there are impeachment hearings.
Well, I will tell you this. I would make this speculation here, just on the political side, that there won't be any impeachment hearings because Democrats don't want to do this in an election year. They see that as a minus.
Well, they need to follow the Constitution, Fred, and I think we all need to support them on just uphold the Constitution. We'll be fine. But I called in about maybe people don't know, there's Progressive Talk, Air America Radio back in Columbus at 1580 a.m. You know, Ed mm-hmm. Schultz, Stephanie Miller, and uh-huh. Rachel Maddow. And the station has had a tough time finding a progressive-minded sales, you know, sales staff. So they are struggling a bit. If you go to their website, WVKO1580.com, there is they're asking for donations.
I've been to their website and I saw that, and they want $50,000 in donations in the next how many days?
Well, that's the goal. I don't know how many days. I'm not.
I think I'm 90 days or something like that.
Club, right.
It's not likely to happen, to be honest.
Right. Well, who knows? But you know, people might want to give it a try. I think there's a lot of great shows on NPR, but I also do like going sometimes to listen to. Mm-hmm. To the liberal talk, I think it's fair, but it is unbalanced. That's but you know, I think NPR and the New York Times, the mainstream or the corporate media. I guess NPR isn't corporate media, although there's a lot of all your funding comes from the ADM and all that. The big corporations mostly, but
well, first of all, our funding doesn't come from there at all, and of course, yeah, some of National Public Radio's funding comes from Archer Daniels Midland, that's true, and other corporate sources, yeah, but they also have a big grant from the late Joan Kroc.
Sure.
You know, there are all kinds, and fees from all the local stations. You know, we pay a lot of money for Morning Edition, and all things considered, a huge amount of NPR's funding comes from the local stations. So, and that, I believe, in fact, the preponderance of their funds come from the local stations and from Congress through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Thank you for setting the record straight. I do think that type of media really let us down the Bush administration just wanted to get into Iraq. I think it was. They gave too much. They didn't look at it critically enough. That the what was out there, the information out there. Hans Blix was there saying, "Look, tell us where to look for the WMD. We want to find it." And
Bob Edwards, when he was here, the former host of Morning Edition, and we did a stage presentation with him at the Southern Theater, WOSU did. And he said it was a mea culpa there. He said, yeah, and National Public Radio was not sufficiently critical of the information coming from the administration in the run-up to the war. He said they were not.
And then President Bush pulled the inspectors out to start the war.
It's true that Hans Blix said, give us about 4 more months and we'll be able to definitively tell you whether or not there are weapons of mass destruction or the capability for producing them in Iraq. Just give us that time and we'll have the definitive information. We're getting sufficient cooperation from the Iraqis and we can do it in that time. And you're correct. The president chose not to wait. That's right.
Well, there's many different shows. You know, I hope people will tune in at 1580 a.m. and check them out. If you don't like one show, there's the comedy more ones, and then there's the more serious-minded. In the evenings, 9 to 12, I like Tom Hartman program. Mm-hmm.
I'm not clear as to why Progressive Talk Radio is failing in Columbus. I don't know whether I haven't seen the ratings, so I don't know whether it just doesn't have much of an audience or whether it does have an audience and management of the station doesn't know how to sell. I really don't know.
All commercial radio is struggling. Ad sales, the ad sales are down and all across the board, but it's about, it's about selling advertising time.
Yep, it is.
And that's they've had some technical problems getting a satellite feed. There's a big building block in the satellite feed, but there's a lot of good shows there. I hope people check it out. 1580 AM.
Thanks for your call. And Debbie is next. Hello, Debbie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You caught me putting my dishes away. Let me take you off the speakerphone.
You're doing the dishes.
I was on hold for a while.
Okay.
I have a question about going back to the DTV.
All right.
I put my converter box in, and it's my understanding that the regular WOSU programming, like we get on our cable box, has not been converted yet. And I understand it's mandatory that it be converted before February, but I was wondering if there's any possibility it will be converted before then.
No, I believe my understanding of it is, and I hope I'm correct here, is that the deadline, when all television stations must turn off their analog transmitters and activate the digital transmitters, have the digital transmitters only on and turn off the analog, is February 17th, 2009. So I don't think any television station is planning to turn off their analog transmitters before that date.
I wasn't suggesting that it be turned off. What I meant was, right now we can get the extra three additional channels, but we can't get the regular WOSU programming. Like, there's certain things that just aren't on the other three channels.
Right.
So I was wondering when, if we would see a mirror of the analog converted to digital prior to the shutoff of the analog in February.
You know, I can't answer that question, but Debbie, but I can tell you who can. If you call our main number, 292-9678, right? 292-9678, mm-hmm. Ask to talk to Tom Lahr. That's L-A-H-R, Tom Lahr. He's our director of engineering for television, and Tom will be able to help you with that question.
I will do that.
Sure. Thanks,
Thank
Debbie.
Thank you very much.
Sure thing. Bye-bye. 614-292-8513 with John. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Fred.
Yes.
Hey, long time no hear from. You guys were talking about the president and impeachment or whatnot, and I pray for the president every day. Weapons of mass destruction weren't found, and the media has done nothing, really, about it. I would ask that Americans, please shoot your television. Please turn off the television at the very least, and for goodness sakes, get out of this left-right paradigm. The average senator makes about $165,000 a year, and I ask the average American to just take a look at how much you make. And when you take a look at the gap there, what makes us really think that these people care? I mean, they took impeachment off the table. Why? Because they're all a part of the same club. And I really, really pray that Americans get a backbone. I mean, our forefathers had a backbone. They stood up to their government and said, listen, we're not going to take this. And they actually, you know, changed things and made things to where we've got the freedoms that are slowly, slowly, slowly being taken away. I mean, right before our very eyes. What a lot of people don't really understand, this is what I say to people who are pro-war. Why don't you take a look at some of the footage that's going on over there that they won't show you on the regular media here? Because, you know, war is not pretty. And the precedent that we've actually set by going into a country, I mean, and blowing up buildings. I mean, these precision-guided bombs, you know, they don't just kill terrorists. They hurt innocent people as well. We have set a precedent that is like, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, imagine if another country were to do to us what we are doing in Iraq. Iraq didn't have weapons of mass destruction. We do. I pray for America, Fred. I pray for the president, and I pray for the world, because if you take a look at the globe and think of every war that's going on as somewhat like a flame, if these flames aren't put out, they will jump across seas, and they'll be everywhere.
John, let me ask you this. You raised a number of issues. Earlier on, you talked about senators and congressmen maybe not caring. Who is your senator and who is your congressman?
My senator here, I know we've got Voinovich. He's like the governor or whatnot. I don't pretend to be someone who knows a lot about government.
Well, Ohio has two senators.
I mean, I can
now,
tell
right?
you that we've got three branches of government, and I can tell you what they are and what they do. As far as knowing our senator, no, I don't know for it.
We got Senator Voinovich, we got Senator Sherrod Brown, and do you know who your representative is, your congressional representative in the House of Representatives?
No, the only person I know of is Mark Dan. I called in and asked him a question about 4 or 5 months ago.
The reason I'm asking is because you said that these representatives don't care, and I wonder whether you thought Senator Voinovich cares or whether Sherrod Brown, whether he cares, you know.
I've seen Sherrod Brown on C-SPAN. I don't think any of them care, to be honest with you. Look at our deficit. And, you know, being honest, these are people who have given themselves raises year after year after year, and our deficit has gone up, you know, more and more. So in essence, what I think is that they're giving themselves raises for a job well done when, in fact, they didn't deserve a raise at all. And, you know, being honest, you know, I'm glad you called me on the fact that I don't know who my representative is. How many listeners don't know who their representatives are? We need to find out who these people are, and we need to communicate with them.
Well, right. Absolutely. I would agree.
And Fred, I thank you because you, in turn, have encouraged me to find out who these people are, and my voice will be heard. Because I tell you what, I've got a son, and I don't want my son to grow up in a war zone. I don't want my neighbors to be in a war zone. And the precedent that we have set by going into Iraq and bombing innocent people, people that haven't done anything to us. It's great. You know, one quick story before I jump off here. I went to get a gyro the other day, and the clerk owner, the guy who, bring me out, was writing in Arabic, and the whole place, I mean, everybody in there was Arabic, and I got a couple of dirty looks, but I actually had a couple of people, you know, sit down and talk with me, and we talked about America's foreign policy, and I tell you, you know, there's two sides to every story. So I pray for America, I pray for our president, and I hope for the best. Thank you, Fred.
John, thanks for your call. Of course, we have a great opposition to the Iraq war. We have a great support for the Iraq war. Current polls show that about over the course of several polls show that about 60% of Americans think the Iraq War was the wrong thing to do, and about 40% think it was the right thing to do. Bob is on the line. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. Question about the old TV conversion thing. As I understand it, industry knew long ago when this changeover was going to occur. And is it true that I can't remember if I was told by a TV salesman or whatever, that you don't have to have any kind of conversion equipment or you don't need the box if the TV was made after a certain date? Question, is that true?
Well, if you buy a digital television, an HD TV television that's digital, no, it doesn't need the converted box. It's only if you have an analog television. Now, I'm sure that if you go to the stores now, you're going to find some analog TVs there, and of course, they do need the converted box. So it really depends on the particular television itself. I don't know whether all TVs made after a certain date are digital ready. I'm not sure about that, but I would ask the salesman and go to a store you trust, and certainly if it's digital, it doesn't need it.
Okay. That's what I needed. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. John is on the air. Hello, John.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good.
I'd just like to draw your listeners' attention to the ad on page A7 of today's dispatch. That's the first section, called A Pox on Both Houses, that calls for a relationship, a respectful relationship between America and Iran. We've gone down the Iraq road before, and instead of choosing coercion, it suggests that we choose peace, and that's part of the tradition of Islam and Judaism and Christianity. And it's signed by a variety of people locally.
Yeah, locally, that's right. By the way, you say a pox on both houses. That pox is spelled P-A-X.
Meaning
peace. Yeah,
that's
okay.
That's right. Yeah, it's the Latin for peace.
Yeah.
And signed by folks from Ohio, and mm-hmm. the initiating signers were the original signers in December 2007 that signed the ad that first appeared in the Des Moines Register.
Yeah.
Just like to say I certainly support that, and I'm one of the signers.
You're one of the signers. Well, you know, John, it says, the ad begins, it says, now that we know that Iran is not making nuclear weapons, the God of peace and justice calls on Americans and Iranians to make a full peace with each other, not dither any longer between peace and war. For as the prophet Elijah cried out, how long will you keep hopping between two options? Choose. So, and then it goes on to say God chooses, calls us to choose peace. And the variety, you say, of local signers, that's right, many of whose names I think all our listeners would recognize from the various church denominations. Of course, it is true that we do have to be watchful because, as you saw the other day, the International Atomic Energy Agency said that Iran is not being fully disclosing in terms of all their nuclear activities, so that we can be certain that they're not attempting to create a moves toward the capability for a bomb. So I think we need to be alert. But, of course, all of you have suggested here that you do not want to see any kind of warlike activities. You'd like to see negotiation.
Yes. Yeah, it seems to me that one of the consequences of continued threats against Iran will be continued problems. And I think it's quite likely that will not be effective. I think we need mutually respectful relationships, and our government, I think, ought to be clear about it instead of dithering. Between two ways of coercion and negotiation.
You could say the same thing, could you not, about the government of Iran and President Ahmadinejad, who's made the most horrific comments.
Oh, yes.
Anti-Semitic comments yeah. about the Holocaust didn't happen. I mean, all this garbage, you know. And you know, you've got a person over there who's not helping the situation. Huh?
Oh, yes. That's absolutely true. One of the pieces they had said, we call upon the supreme religious authorities of Iran to end all threats against the existence of Israel and all denials of the historical truth of the Nazi Holocaust, make clear that Iran will not support violence against civilians by its own or other forces.
Well, I think, John, we all share your hope for peace rather than continual warfare, do we not? And, of course, it's up to the leaders of our country whoever they may be after the new election, and the leaders of Iran, as you say, to quit dithering and get down to talking and to negotiation, because peace is always preferable to war. And it seems to me that this, and to many observers, that this is a situation that could be negotiated out, given good faith on both sides.
Yes, and I think we elicit good faith by our good faith, and I hope that it will be respectful rather than belligerent. I really don't think that war solves the problems. I think it just creates more.
John, thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot.
And we're going to pause here for a little bit of news, and in our local news, we'll tell you about the appointment of the interim attorney general by Governor Strickland. It's the dean of our law school at OSU, Nancy Rogers. We'll learn more about that on our local news, and we'll hear the national news as well. After that, back with Michael Pollan, journalist who says, hey, you know, we've got to defend real food from nutritionists, scientific nutritionists, and food industry marketing. All of this and listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820. Columbus, WOSU 820 is NPR News.